Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. I trust everybody's having a great morning. Are there any announcements?
Mm-hmm.
children will lead that service. I think we have an adult speaker. Is that right? And a college student speaker who has used the most of us. Yep.
Are there any other announcements? At this time, we'd like to recognize our first-time visitors. Are there any first-time visitors?
I believe so.
Okay. We're all home, folks. We're all glad we're here. I hope that the registration books have been passed out. If you would take time to register your attendance. Do we have any prayer or praise requests at this time? Any other prayer or praise requests?
Richard Woodruff does have a cancerous spot in his lungs, somebody said a mass. He will go to the oncologist on Thursday. So pray for Richard, Clara, the family.
Are there any other prayers you pray?
Rob Vanderkoe, a neighbor, a member of the church but inactive. But he's had a year of sickness, so pray for Rob.
If you haven't mentioned your prayer or praise request, you can write it on the card in the pew right there in front of you and put it in the offering plate so that it can be put into the bulletin. At this time, we're going to pause for a moment of silent prayer. We'll prepare our hearts for worshiping God, and we're going to have the lighting of the candles, which symbolizes welcoming Jesus, the light of the world, into our service. call to worship is responsive, please join me. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore.
From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
The Lord is exalted over all the nations, His glory above the heavens.
Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth?
He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand now and turn in our hymnals to hymn 18. Come, we that love the Lord.
For prayer. Lord God, you have called us. You have called us through song. You have called us through your word. Lord, thank you for inviting us to come and offer praise. And we have so much to praise you for, O God, for your greatness, for your goodness, for your strength, for your patience, for your mercy, for your righteousness. Lord, for all that you have done for us, for your gifts, your blessings, for spiritual blessings and material blessings. Lord, as we come to worship you, we pray that you would so move in us that we could bring glory to you through what we do in this time together, in this hour. Bless our voices, bless our thoughts, bless each word that is read or spoken today. And Father, bless each action. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, praying now as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and let us express our faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Confession is from Isaiah 64:6. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Our prayer of confession is in unison. It comes from Psalm 51. Please join me. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak, and justified when you judge. Please cleanse me, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness is from Psalm 86:5. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call you.
Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 81. Hymn 81. What a wonderful Savior we have.
Savior,
change in the bulletin. We have a change in the bulletin. We're going to move our contemporary song up a little bit, just because one reason, this is it's not a children's song, but it's a song that our children love. And the where it was placed in the bulletin, the children were supposed to be in children's church. So if everyone will stand with me, and for those of you that sing with us on, come with us, or join us on Wednesday night, this is a familiar song for you. And if you don't know this, it's a really easy song to learn, and especially the kids and the youth, if you'll stand and sing out with us. John 3:16. And this fits very well. Our musicians are getting ready. It's very fitting with our sermon title today. It is simple to be saved, and it's a simple message, and if we heed what it says. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will never die, but have eternal life. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will never die, but have eternal life. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, so put your faith in Jesus Christ, and your soul will never die, you'll never die, you'll have eternal life. Forever and ever, you'll have eternal life. You'll never die, you'll have eternal life. Forever and ever, you'll have eternal life. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world,
eternal life.
offertory sentence today comes from Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Will our ushers please come forward? time for children's time.
If the children will come right here, and I want to do children's time this morning with a lot of help. Except me. I've got some other people planned to help. Okay? Boy, isn't that wonderful to have people, and you'll get a chance right now. Okay. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Now, Miss Andrea is in Florida enjoying the sand with that grandbaby she brings with her sometime and talks to us about all the time. And this morning, well, she had to leave early because of the grandbaby, or she thought she did. She chose to leave early last Sunday, and the baby wasn't bothering me, the babies, but I was bothering the babies, it looked like. And so I thought about coming and talking to you about Daniel and that roaring lion that couldn't eat him. But then I had another thought. So we won't talk about Daniel this morning. So I went out through the congregation and asked people to say something to these children, about three or four of them. So I'm going to start with Miss Melanie. She may take up all the time. Go, Miss Melanie. A message. See, does it work? Y'all are not exempt now. And thank you. Okay, yeah, but you'll go back. But we got about three or four people that I asked to, what would you say to these children this morning. We'll start here in the middle. Get over here, Julie. The first one I asked, the first shall be last and the last first. And that's the way I started this away. Did anybody else ask for joy that hasn't spoken yet? Mary Jo, did I ask you? Okay, I did not. I just remember going to that area. Joy, the last one to speak to us this morning. The children. Come and sing with Miss Bell. Teenagers join us.
Lord God, thank you. Thank you for loving. Thank you for these people who had something to say. Thank you for giving us something to say. And help us be good examples for these children. In His name, Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today comes from Romans and from Ephesians. Romans 10, 5 through 13. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank all of you for your help and participation. And let's talk about salvation again, or being saved. I was in a hospital waiting room in Jackson, Mississippi. My sister was having a procedure. This was my mother was having a procedure. And I looked, and there was a lady came in, and she gave out some pamphlets. She placed a few pamphlets here and checked this other side of the room, and then she left. Well, being an inquiring person, an inquiring mind wants to know what this woman was distributing there in the hospital waiting room. So I go over to see, and it was a little pamphlet. And something like this. This is half of it, and this is the other half. And on the back, it had the Lord's Prayer. But on the front, she had made a copy of this little pamphlet, a tract, we call it. And it is says it's simple to be saved. And it had A, B, C, like three blocks, if you can see there. A, B, C, three children's blocks. And then it says it's simple to be saved. And then it went from there to talk about the salvation experience. And she had copied this tract and then was distributing it. And this tract was written by a man named David Haynes. And I think it's the American Tract Society. No, the Fellowship Tract League, T-R-A-C-T. And you see little tracts all over the country, wherever you go, in churches, in bus stations, in hospital waiting rooms. And some people What they do is they have a ministry of purchasing and distributing these tracts. Well, this lady was copying and distributing these tracts. And then if you respond to the gospel and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you could even send a note back to the people, your name and address. And this is put out by a group of people in Lebanon, Ohio. And I said David Haynes, H-A-I-N-E-S. And basically it said, it's simple to be saved. I saw that, and as I started preaching on salvation, evangelism, sharing the gospel, I thought of this and went and pulled it out and said, a great sermon outline, or I thought it was. Still think it is. And so we looked at Romans 10 for the scripture passage, and they quote those verses and also Ephesians 2. There are many other verses included in this. So follow me here as we look at this. My hope, my purpose, my goal is to help people understand how to become a disciple of Jesus, or how to help people to understand how to be saved, or how to trust in Jesus as their Savior, and help people also, those who are saved, to know how to lead someone else to be a disciple. If you are internet people, you can go to the internet and type in, I think it's track 101, or it's simple to be saved, and it will come up almost at the top, and you can go and follow through this track and many more. They're right there for our guidance. So I borrowed a sermon last week, or a sermon outline for the sermon. I've borrowed another in this week. But I do it openly and don't try to hide it. I'm not the only person that God can speak to and give an outline for a sermon. Now, I don't do that every week. I will affirm that. People used to talk about preachers moving every 3 years so they could recycle their sermons. Well, I haven't done that, and I've tried not to preach too many sermons over and over and over, but I have borrowed other people's outline and much of the meat, because if something grabs me and speaks to me, or I feel it would be important for the congregation, I'm willing to share it. Pass it on to somebody else. So we come from there. Salvation is simple, but salvation is not cheap. Now, how costly is salvation? Very costly. It costs God a son. And Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Well, God laid down his son for our salvation, the salvation of anyone. Somebody pointed out the other day, and I've said it in sermons myself, I've said it in discussing, if I was the only one, or if you were the only one that needed to be saved from your sin, God would have sent Jesus to die for you. But he did it for all of us. It wasn't sent just for one, but it was sent for all of us. It cost God his son for us to be saved. It cost Jesus his life. He gave his life. How many of us would say, for a sinner, that we would give our life if it would help, that that person might be saved? See, it won't help for us to give our life in death, but it will help if we give our life in witnessing and in service to God. We can give our life. We can spend our life telling the message that Jesus saves. Jesus died that we might be saved. It cost Jesus his life. Salvation, eternal life, is available to all people, because Jesus died on the cross some 2,000 years ago, paying for our sin. He was put in a grave, put in a tomb. The tomb was sealed, but when he had paid the price, separated from God. He claimed, my God, why have you forsaken me? He paid the price being separated from God. We express it, descended to Hades. The price was paid for our sin, spiritual death. God raised him up to new life, and he lives forevermore. Salvation is not dependent on our education. If it was, some people would be left out. We have an educated group in this congregation this morning. Highly educated. PhDs, master's degrees, GEDs. But doesn't matter what level of education we have, we can still all be saved. Salvation is available to all, no matter what level of education we have. Wealth. Doesn't matter how wealthy we are. The poorest person has the same opportunity to be saved that the richest person does. And all of those in the middle. Moral perfection. He's a good man. Or she's a good woman, or he's a good boy, or a good girl. That's important, that we be good. But we cannot be good enough to save ourselves. Because if we miss in one law, if we fail to keep one law, we're guilty of all. Scripture says that. So if it's moral perfection that we're depending on to get us to heaven, one's got as good a chance as the other. Jesus is the only perfect one without sin, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But salvation comes to us on the basis, God sends it to us on the basis, offers it to us, makes it available to us on the basis of personal faith. And even a child can express that personal faith, or exercise, if you will, or put into practice the faith that is theirs. Someone has put it, everyone is seen on the same level in the eyes of God. And all must come to God on the same terms. Romans 3, 9 and 10. Romans 3, 9 and 10. Hear these words, if you will, from Romans. What shall we conclude? Paul is writing to the Roman Christians, or the Christians in Rome, people in Rome who had believed in Jesus, part of the church. What shall we conclude? Are we any better than the other people that he's been talking about? Are we any better than they are? Not at all. We have already made the charge. Paul is saying what he had already told the Roman Christians. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, no, not one. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. That one is printed there at the bottom of your scripture lessons. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, not from yourselves. It's a gift from God. Started out saying it's simple to be saved. How simple is it? It's as simple as entering a door. How many of you have gone through a door today? Now, it says gates up here. Gate is the NIV. Door is the King James. I believe I'm right, or I may have that backwards. As I said it, I said, do I have that backwards? How many of you have entered a door this morning? Or gone through a door? Is there anybody that can claim they haven't gone through a door or a gate? Came through a door into this room, sanctuary. You came through two doors to get in here, or at least one is in a doorway to get up here. But you came, went through a door to get out of your house, and you probably went through a door as you first got up this morning to get out of your bedroom. A lot of doors. Jesus was using something that people understood, even the gate, if you're in the King James language or King James English. The area he lived by the sheep. He talked about being the good shepherd, John chapter 10. And he talked about something that the people were familiar with. And they were familiar with seeing sheep corrals and gates or doors. And he says, I am the gate. Jesus is the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Well, we might not know much about sheep, but if you just pull this verse out, this is one time you can pull a verse out of context, and it fits real good, and we don't have to worry too much about the context of this one at this time, or in this regard, salvation. If we attempt to get into heaven through Jesus, we will be successful. We will be saved. I am the gate. Jesus is the gate. Or He is the door through which we enter into heaven. And we are all familiar with doors today. It's as simple as calling for help. Can you remember a time that you have called for help? I called for help this morning. Went around asking for help. Got some help. Great help. Thank you, all of you. Then an offer of more help. Wednesday night was a great example. Tommy was missing. It's a little note about it in the bulletin. A thank you from Susan. Tommy, death in the family, need to be at the funeral Wednesday afternoon. I think it was 4 o'clock. He needs to be somewhere. If you're going to cook supper for 50 to 75 people, you need to be here at 4 o'clock, right? Somewhere over the stove. Well, he couldn't be here. So he called and Susan told Susan, and Susan told me, and here, what are we going to do about cooking hamburgers? And we frustrated around a little bit, and I remembered that Becky Leonard had said 2 or 3 weeks ago, if you need help with Wednesday supper, call me. Wow. It took me about 40 minutes to remember that, but I did, and I said, you know, thank you. Becky, you remember what you said a few days ago? Yes, yes. Are you sure you know what I'm talking about? She really, I don't know how she could have, but yeah, I said, we need supper tonight. We need somebody to cook 100 hamburgers. You know, I called for help. She came. You ate. We probably picked out some of it, didn't we? We figured it out. We did everything that was promised. And there's 2 things promised for this Wednesday night. It won't be hamburgers. That was last. Our new secretary we have not worked all the kinks out yet. We won't even say who he is. One day, when I was acting as my own secretary, I said from the pulpit, the secretary made a mistake today, and people fussed at me. They thought my wife had done it. I think I told this one before. But I won't even say who. I was supposed to prove the bulletin. So it says, baked beans and hamburgers and french fries one place, and steak another place. It's going to be steak, I think, unless you come in surprise. But we're working that out. And trying to get a good proofreader around. But it's salvation is as simple. I said all that to get back to saying salvation is as simple as calling for help. The Apostle Paul, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I was saved from
catastrophe
Wednesday night. If y'all had shown up,
there's no food prepared. Y'all would have hit me, wouldn't you?
But I was saved. And Jesus saves us unto salvation and eternal life. It's as simple as calling for help. It's as simple as coming when called. Years ago, I heard a lot of country music. We grew up, if we had a radio, it was usually on a country station. Then my sister would try to change it to a not-so-country station, and it would always get back to the country station. And it was one of those little, you know, not even have a clock on it, tinny-sounding plastic radios, and a lot of country music. One song I remember is a kind of a gospel song, Come Home. Come Home. It talks about a mother preparing supper, and I could visualize going out on the back porch and calling the kids, "Children, supper is ready." I think Johnny Cash recorded this one. I thought Governor Jimmy Davis, former Governor Jimmy Davis of Louisiana did, but that might have been another one. He did do another song, but in my mind, I thought he did, but I couldn't prove that this week. It's talking about a mother dying and being in heaven, as I understand it, and calling for her children to come to that heavenly home. And Matthew 11:11, he tells us how important we are in the kingdom of God. If you ever think you're not important, just go and read Matthew 11:11. And if you know anything about John the Baptist and how important he was to preparing the people of the wilderness for the coming of Jesus, it was very important. And Jesus says, as important as he was, no one has risen up or been raised up greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least one in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And then he says in Matthew 11, is it 28? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, you who are burdened down with sin, burdened down with the guilt of sin, and I will give you rest. And you might want to think about your mother calling you at supper time. You may have heard Johnny Cash sing it or someone else. It's kind of a heart-wrenching song, is it not? My wife will not listen to those touching songs. She'd rather smile and listen to happy songs. Every once in a while, she'll listen to one of those with me. Salvation is as simple as receiving a gift. You have trouble receiving gifts. Some people would rather give than to receive. Back to my earlier days, we grew up doing farm work, and everybody was, but one or two were kind of poor. And you knew if you worked on the farm for somebody else, if they paid you, it's taking something out of their pocket. And was even kind of apologetic for receiving our pay. Have any of y'all experienced this? Oh, that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to pay me. Or you don't have to pay me today. But if they had agreed with you, you would have said, oh, I was mistaken. You do need to pay me. Okay. People have trouble sometimes receiving gifts. You don't need to do this. You shouldn't have. We're not very good gift receivers. Or many people are not. And we have the same trouble receiving the gift of salvation. We think we've got to work for it or earn it some way. And then we think, well, I really don't deserve that much. Paul says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is the eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord.
For God so loved the world. We sang about it.
He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have eternal life. It's a gift of God. None of us can boast about it. It's as simple as drinking water. Probably all of us have had something to drink this morning. If we don't drink water, we probably have some coffee, as bad as it tastes, and I have about 3 cups. And not one of them was tasty. Any of you drink some bad tasting coffee? But we keep on sipping it because it's a social thing to do. Or it's a wake up thing to do, you know. Carolyn prepares me one before I get out of bed. Isn't that lovely? She won't listen to country songs with me. That's sad, but she'll prepare my coffee. Wow. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. Woman at the well. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He leads this woman to trust in him as the Savior. She goes and tells her friend that she's met the Messiah. They come out and they listen. And they're not secondhand Christians. They start out to be secondhand believers. They believe her testimony. But then they came and met Jesus. That's what Melanie was telling the children this morning. God has no grandchildren. They got personal testimony from Jesus. They met Him themselves. And we meet Him ourselves. But it's as simple as drinking the water. Being saved is as simple as eating bread. And we all ate some bread. Some of us ate more bread than we should have during the Sunday school hour because it was on the table. And we'll eat some more bread in just a few moments. Or some kind of food. We're all familiar with this. That's what Jesus did. He used things to illustrate. He used common, everyday situations to illustrate eternal truths, spiritual truths. So He said, the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then He says, I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of the bread, he will live forever. Or he will receive eternal life or life eternal. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for life to the world. And then He was crucified on the cross. And He gave us the Holy Communion service or the sacrament of the Lord's Supper so we could remember how His body was given for us. And then He says, we know that salvation is as simple as believing God. Same chapter of John 6, verse 47. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. Or go to John 3:16 if you like. Or go to Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, is there a difference in calling upon the name of the Lord and believing? You're not going to call upon someone you don't believe in, are you? Hopefully you're not stumbling at the simplicity of salvation. You know, some people wanted experience like the Apostle Paul had. You can read about his experience for your homework assignment, if you will. Acts chapter 9, I think it's also in Acts chapter 22, and then 27 maybe. God couldn't get his attention. He was running from God. Thought he was serving God and running from God. God struck him blind. Acts chapter 9. Some people say, well, I've got to have an experience like Paul. Well, we don't. We don't have to have an experience like anybody else. It's between us and God. Between you and God. It's simple. As believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall be saved. Or call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon that one in whom you believe. And it's simply up to each individual. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus coming to provide salvation. In His name, we offer our prayer, even ourselves. Join me to sing 342, Just As I Am. We come just as we are. Don't expect Jesus to leave us like we are. His promises to save us.
and redeem us, and then make us into what we ought to be.
3-4-2.
One and last. First and last.
Again, we thank you for salvation through Jesus, eternal life. And we pray that you would help us to share this message. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.